The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know Christmas is approaching, but some of the themes in our lessons this week might get us to think about New Year's Day and the new beginnings that come with resolutions that often come with that holiday as opposed to Christmas. In our gospel lesson, John the Baptist is calling us to make some changes in our lives. We need to turn things around, prepare the way of the Lord. In this season of preparation, what are you preparing for? Is it Christmas? Is it the second advent of Christ? Is it a new job, new career, the next chapter in your life? At this time, we might be finding ourselves preparing for and hoping for a new tomorrow. Or is there a tomorrow that is coming that you're not prepared for? A tomorrow that is coming that you do not want to come? A tomorrow that you see no hope in. I remember as a kid watching an episode of Batman with Adam West in it. For those of you who know who Adam West was. And it was in that episode that the Riddler was in it. And he had the riddle, "What's always coming but never comes?" The answer was tomorrow. It's always coming but never comes. Tomorrow. Throughout our lives, the preparation for a new tomorrow come and go. But all that we've hoped for perhaps is waiting for another day or another tomorrow that never seems to arrive. As blunt as John the Baptist appears in our gospel lesson, perhaps it's that promise of a fresh start and a new beginning and hope for a new tomorrow that attracts so many people to him. John the Baptist in modern times might come across as like a life coach, a trainer, a person that could hold you accountable to new resolutions that you want to make in your life. And while there's certainly nothing wrong with working on ourselves, that's certainly part of what we do, the longing to just work on ourselves with those types of resolutions to produce hope for a new tomorrow can have a focus that only looks inwardly in ourselves and neglect our wider call to be invested in our neighbors. A concern with only ourselves and not those around us will end up producing rotten fruit because we're consumed and hoping things just for us. Sometimes when we get caught up in just focusing on doing the right thing, we might just be doing the right thing also for all the wrong reasons. John the Baptist calls out the Pharisees and the Sadducees in our gospel lesson today. He calls them a brood of vipers. They can't rely on their status or participate in this act of repentance for the sake of appearances. It's warning them. He's warning us, because we can all be guilty of this too. Doing things for the sake of appearances. The right thing for the sake of appearances. Trying to look good while hiding all the bad that's going on within our lives. Only to produce bad fruit in the end. Because we're not going in the right direction. We keep going in the wrong direction, expecting a new result and a new tomorrow. The kingdom of heaven that John is speaking of is certainly about us, but not only about us. In our first lesson from Isaiah, we get an image of the hope in the new tomorrow, that the kingdom of heaven that is here and that is to come, what that looks like. Leanne Van Dyke writes, "The peaceable kingdom portrays unlimited inbreaking of the kingdom of God and harmony between humans and animals." These are clearly images that reflect an expansive hope for justice and good order and the well-being of the weakest and the most vulnerable members of society. Children will not be hurt. Those vulnerable ones will be protected. Transformations and reversals abound. And that is why embodying that image as people of faith has been a threat to empires over the years, because transformations and reversals abound if we live into what it means to embody God's kingdom and new tomorrow today. So we're called to do the right things for the right reasons, not superficial resolutions, not impulsive quick fixes that don't resolve the deeper issues that are going on in our lives. Called to do the right things for the right reasons. But I see Christians and congregations do the right things for the wrong reasons all the time. They hear that call to serve and love their neighbor, but there's an agenda attached to it. And it is often, at times, we can see for the sake of appearances. Or they want to serve others in hopes that it will put butts in the pews and perhaps balance the budget to keep an institution afloat. None of that of which is what John the Baptist is saying here in the wilderness. None of that is what you'll hear Jesus call us to in the Gospels. It's not the kingdom of heaven that John's talking about. It's not the kingdom of heaven that Jesus ushers in. We are marked with the cross of Christ and we are called to live for others, period. And we are joined to Christ in holy baptism. And that is a transformation that we experience, that sends us out into the world to live a little bit differently. In our first lesson from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, we hear these words of hope. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Those words might sound familiar to you because those are the words that we pray over the newly baptized. They're also the words that we pray over people when they go through the rite of confirmation, which is an affirmation of holy baptism. And it's a reminder that in the baptized life, we are joined to God that enables us to bear good fruit in the world. Too many have cheapened baptism to be nothing more than a cultural rite of passage, or have mistakenly seen it as fire insurance. But holy baptism is a gift in which we receive so much, not just for ourselves, but opens us up to be a blessing for others in the world. The fruit that we produce is more than how the world measures good fruit one of the painful lessons that I learned during the pandemic is that we value people's worth by their economic output. That's what the world sees us as. And if you're not producing in how the world defines as good fruit, you're expendable. God calls us to bear fruit that helps to honor, preserve, and love all of God's creation, all of those people created in the image and likeness of God. And through the baptized life, that fruit that we produce will enrich the lives of those around us. We'll desire to care for all of God's creation because it is good. It is the baptized life in which we are sharing the love of Jesus in word and deed. And in Christ, we encounter a God who is generous and gracious. But that comes with transformation. Transformation isn't always easy, right? Baptism is not only not fire insurance, but He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, right? We will be transformed in ways that may not always be pleasant in life. That image of separating the chaff from the wheat is perhaps not just separating, we could take that as saying, well, it's good people and bad people, but the saint and sinner within us, right? The sinner that is being destroyed as we live into this baptismal life that is complete at death, and the sinner ultimately destroyed and the saint rising to new life in Christ. It is an image where all of God's creation, including you and me, will be made whole. It's not a promise of fear, but a promise of love, that God wants to make things right in this world and make us right with God. It's encountering a generous and gracious God that enables us to reflect that image of God in the world that produces good fruit. It's this in this God that we encounter forgiveness, that we can truly, truly start anew, no matter how bad yesterday was. Christ loves the hell out of us. Christ loves the hell out of us. And it is through that love that we don't just have to hope for a new tomorrow, but we can see the kingdom of heaven that has come near today. We get a glimpse of heaven and are called to cultivate that reality in our love for others by seeking to live in harmony with others and all of God's creation. Joined to Christ in holy baptism, we are daily dying and rising with Christ. We are daily encountering the crucified and risen Christ. That call to repentance is simply turning in the right direction, turning to Christ, away from the wrong directions and the dead ends that are out there in our world. You've heard me give this image before. When we did confession forgiveness this morning, your backs were turned towards the world and you were facing Christ. And in that image, right here in our sanctuary, is the baptismal font, a reminder that your forgiveness is grounded in your baptism. A reminder that that hope for a new tomorrow arrives in Christ today. Because in Christ, we're always experiencing a new tomorrow. We don't have to live into that riddle, what's always coming that never comes, tomorrow. In Christ, tomorrow comes. Tomorrow has arrived. The kingdom of heaven is here. The sins of yesterday are gone and forgiven. The new life and the fresh start that we have is upon you today through the love of Christ. You are free to go and bear good fruit in this world. And it is those words from St. Paul this morning in his letter to the Romans that can serve as a blessing, that can ground us as we turn to Jesus, embrace and receive the kingdom of heaven with the hope of a new tomorrow that is here among us today. Hope also for all that there is to come. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.